want to discuss a topic. I guess you could, it's a catchy title, and in general, there's a lot of discussion of Torah behind it. The days of Mashiach going to be boring. Now, the joke goes, somebody who asked his friend, what's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Said, there's not going to be any death, any hunger, any jealousy, any crime. Said, okay, there's no newspapers. You know? So people have an issue, the life will be boring. And not a psychologist, I don't want to analyze the thought process, but the point is basically for people, they're used to a certain way things work, and there's certain action, and there's this. To them, that's exciting. Anything that demands more intellectual involvement or, you know, is boring. But first of all, Aliba the Emma's, the truth is they themselves realize that this is not the way the world should be, you know. Being addicted to your phone all day, I wouldn't call that entertaining. Maybe that's boring. But it's also, there's a certain, you know, it's people think when Mashiach comes, they're going to be forced to do something they don't want to do. They're going to be sitting and learning Torah all day. Who wants to sit and learn all day? So, who wants to sit and learn all day, right? Great. So, you can't compare the way you're learning now and your experience that you have by learning when you don't appreciate what you're learning, and so on and so forth, the way it will be when Mashiach will come. When Mashiach will come, to bring a dogma from the opposite extreme, a lot of people that aren't bored of watching movies all day, you understand? So learning Torah when Mashiach will come will be a live thing. It won't be, you know, sitting there on the bench and forcing yourself to understand it after your thesis. You'll see the Torah, you'll see what's going on, the Gashmis and Ruchnis. So people say it's boring, you know, they're afraid, you know, they don't know how to identify with a lifestyle that's not the nitty-gritty, you know, action-packed and the sports that they're used to and this that they're used to. And to them, it's like it's a massive change, but it's not really a massive change. It's just a point of understanding what the purpose of life is all about. Another issue that people have, they're afraid that when Mashiach will come, they'll turn into robots. Why do they think they'll turn into robots? The reason is because there's a discussion when Mashiach will come, people have free choice or not. They'll have bechira chatzos. So both of these things that I mentioned, there's a pasuk and a gemara in the Sefer Shabbos that the gemara says, there's a pasuk that says, not exactly sure where it's here. Well, there's a pasuk that says, "Vigil yamim asher toymar in libam chayfetz." Will come days that you'll say that I don't have any desire in them. So, what does it mean? It's a pasuk, I think, in Kehelas. Pshat of the pasuk means that a person will reach old age and will be able to be productive. But the Gemara says that what this means is that these are the days of Mashiach. That ein b'ham lois chus leichayva. There's no chus. A person can't attain merits. On the other hand, a person also can't sin. So it's like there's no challenge. There's nothing that a person can do. Since there's nothing challenging a person, there's nothing that a person is doing that's making him better, making him worse. So the pasuk uses this. So the gemara is using the term from the pasuk that will come a day that ain't that I don't that there's no. Oh, it's right here. It's in Daesh, in Sech L'Shabbos, Kufnum Aleph, Amid Beis. So in the Gemara says, well, Pliga the Shmuel, this is an argument with Shmuel, because Shmuel said that the only difference between this world and days of Mashiach is Shibud Malchus. It's not that even when Mashiach comes, the world will more or less be the way it is now. Or just that the Jewish people won't be persecuted by the good, they'll have their own independence. So when Mashiach comes, there'll still be, you know, opportunities to change, to do mitzvahs, to do avodas. Now, this is a very, very, very big discussion in general. What exactly does this mean? And when will it be, who will this apply to, and so on and so forth. But in general, there's a few general points. First of all, what is Taka the reason why we say the Mashiach will come? What is the meaning, first of all, of the Maimon Chazal that we say the Mashiach will come, there won't be any zchus v'leichayv, there won't be any merit, and there won't be any the opposite of merit. So The truth is that even though it sounds that we're saying a very general idea, if you look at the actual Gemara with Rashi, the way Rashi explains the Gemara is focusing on one very particular point. But the Gemara says that the focus where Rashi interprets the Gemara, the whole discussion based on the continuation of the Gemara as well, is that we're talking about one thing, whether there'll be the opportunity to do tzedakah or not. When Mashiach will come, everyone will be rich, so you won't have the opportunity to do tzedakah. That's the zchus, that's the merit the Gemara is referring to. And you also won't have the aveda of not giving tzedakah. And that's why when the Gemara brings Shmuel's proof that there won't be any change in this world to the days of Mashiach, besides the fact that there'll be, Yidden will have independence, the pasuk that the Gemara brings is Kilo Yechta Levi Mekaravadis, there'll always be poor people. Which that pasuk is talking about the mitzvah of tzedakah. So a very direct way of understanding this Gemara, the Gemara is not saying that when Mashiach will come, there won't be opportunity to do mitzvahs or avedas. It's talking about one particular thing, that physically won't be the opportunity to do tzedakah because no one will need tzedakah. So there won't be the chus of giving tzedakah, there won't be the chayv of not giving tzedakah. So tzedakah is a very important mitzvah. We once discussed this in the past, how I think we'll fulfill tzedakah when Mashiach will come. And, you know, it's one of the things on which the world runs. We know that the Alter Rebbe writes in Tanya, he brings Yerushalmi, that the term mitzvah that Yerushalmi uses refers to tzedakah, that tzedakah is considered. So if there's no opportunity to do tzedakah, there might be opportunity to put on tefillin, to keep Shabbos, all these things. But tzedakah is considered a very basic mitzvah, and if that's missing, it's a very strong thing. Fine, that's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. The Ramban and other Rishonim, I think, learn the Gemara, that it means that there won't be Zechus HaChayv, the way the Ramban clearly writes, he says there won't be the Chira Chashis, there won't be free choice. He says, since there's no Yetzer Hara, since there's no evil inclination, so there's no, a person won't have a desire to do bad, you might even say one of the ability to do bad, so there's no reward and punishment. The person is preset to do what the Eibishter wanted him to do from the beginning of creation. The way Adam Rishon was before the sin, when he had no Yetzer Hara, even though there was the Nachash around, but that Yetzer Hara wasn't, so to say, within his actual being, within his heart, it was outside. So the same way Adam Rishon was before the Chet, before the sin, so too when Mashiach will come, every single David of his creation will revert to the way it was then. And we want to be Yetzer Hara. So Adam Rishon was very smart. He wasn't, again, very important to understand, not having the Chet HaChashis doesn't mean you're a robot. It doesn't mean you're a zombie, like you're a computer, you just programmed to do things. It means that you don't have the hargosha, the fact that it's good and it's bad, doesn't exist by you. But you exist, one thing, you see only good, you only have a desire for good, and that's what you're doing. That doesn't mean, again, whatever, I'll get to that a little bit later. Not talking about the first, I'll hold on 1 second. Tzaddikim still have bechira.
They don't have
each other. No, Rebbe always said that Tzaddikim always say every day, all day, and day. We'll get to that. There's a lot that I don't think I'll finish it on one. There's a lot to speak about. Then, and the Ramban brings he also interprets the Pasuk this way. It says in Pashas Nitzav, and David Molashem Lekechas Levavcha, David shall circumcise your heart. What's the foreskin of the heart? The foreskin of the heart is a desire to do avedus. That Rebbe also brings it in Tanya. It's in Dalits and Megas. There's so much around it. So circumcised the heart means you want to be Yetzer Hara. So he says there won't be bechira. Now, the Rebbe writes in there's a letter the Rebbe speaks about this. The Rebbe has a hard time accepting the Ramban that it means it won't be bechira because according to Chassidus, particularly. Like I mentioned many times, not only will we still be doing avodah when Mashiach comes, but that avodah then will be in the ultimate way possible. Last week's Siddur Shepasha is one of the main sources for it. Not only is this when Mashiach comes, now it's vacation time, we already finished the whole avodah. Yeah, we finished avodah of Golos with avodah of Kemisus and Senecha, serving the Eibush in the way it was meant to be to begin with. We'll only start when Mashiach will come. So, if there's no Yetzer Hara, there's no Avodah. In other words, the Rambam writes, for example, I don't know if the Rambam writes, that the Chachamim and Nevi'im desired Mashiach, the days of Mashiach, to be able to gain merits for the world to come. If there's no Yetzer Hara, if we say there's no Schus, there's no Chovid, there's no merits, there's no Avodah, so what exactly are we is a person gaining through the avoiding of Yisrael Mashiach. So the Rebbe therefore learns that, I think the Rebbe wants to learn maybe even in the Ramban himself, that he's particularly referring to the second period. But another question, the second period, after Tchiyas HaMeisim, that's when there won't be, the Bechira Chavshis will be taken away. In other words, again, not you're going to turn into a robot, you know, you're like, the chip is put into your brain, but your recognition of good and evil, the way it is now, won't exist. It's, you know, if a person only knows good and only wants to do good, he's not a robot. Now, there's a in-between period. First 40 years, whatever you want to call it, the first period of Mashiach comes, right? So, like the Rebbe learns that we're not saying the free choice will be taken away. He obviously did have Bechira because he's... What? I'll try. I can't guarantee that the answer will match the question. So Adam Rishon, he had Bechira. What's the biggest proof he had Bechira? Because he exercises Bechira. He sinned. So the Rambam says that the way we'll revert the way it was to Adam Rishon before the sin. I would suggest that probably what the meaning over here is not only the way Adam Rishon was before the sin, but beyond that, in other words, Adam Rishon before the sin, he at least had the possibility to sin. We will return to that state that will automatically do the right thing. We won't even have, you know, the Satan, the Yetzer Hara that was there to try to instigate Adam Rishon to sin won't exist. Or we will reach a level, won't be shy for us to listen to.
Sounds like amazing.
Yeah, very
all
good.
The only thing you want to do is try to do
it.
That's
no
what.
No avail. The world is nothing going to bother you anymore. No more kindness, no more stress.
What's the first 40 years? Instead of using the term 40 years, let's use the term the first period of Mashiach. First period of Mashiach, so the Rebbe writes that for Tzaddikim or for Yidden at large, they won't have a Yetzer Hara, but there will still be Bechira Chavshis. Why? Because there won't be there won't be Yetzer Hara, but there'll still be bad in the world. There'll still be the opportunity, like you mentioned before about a tzaddik, right? A tzaddik transformed as Yetzer Hara. It's still shayach to do bad. There's still chazir out there. There's still, you know, there's still b'mtzias. There's bad in the world. So there's still a person. There's still the concept of Bechira Chavshis when there's still good and bad in the world. The concept, even though a person doesn't have a Yetzer Hara, the concept of Bechira Chavshis still applies in the sense that there's good, there's bad. He doesn't have a desire, doesn't have a pull to do bad, doesn't have to overcome a desire, doesn't have to overcome an addiction, which is really not what real Bechira Chavshis is. If you think about it, Bechira Chavshis means a free choice. Doesn't mean that you have to fight one part of you to overcome. One part of you has to fight another part of you to overcome a desire. You have to something. You have a Ruach Shtus that's telling you to sin. You have to fight it. That's not what real Bechira Chavshis is anyway, because Bechira Chavshis means you have a choice, this and this, and you're choosing because this is the right thing to do. Not because, you know, Bechira Chavshis doesn't mean, probably, I'm not, in other words, if you think about it, the pure concept of Bechira Chavshis doesn't really mean or apply in a case where you have a pull to do something bad and you have to fight it. That's Nisoyan, that's a fight. Bechira Chavshis means you have Rein or Sadef, and here's the good, here's the bad. And you're choosing because you understand that's the right thing to do when you don't have a pull to do bad, but you understand this is the right thing to do.
Somebody has to really give the rocha for my Rebbe Shabbat. And they said, well, I don't have any shaykh.
Okay.
Going down a path to put the Kaddet, the whole Inu Khir in that level, the Mesma Shiach, the whole thing, maybe she was Beichin, but I'm going to say, well,
there's a concept of Bechira Chavshis, that Rebbe speaks, mentions a while back. I think it's a Sikh in Elul, Tavshin and Tess, Shkadesh Elul time, somewhere around it. Maybe Tavshin, I think it's Tavshin and Tess. The Rebbe says that the Inyan of Geula is that a Yid becomes one Mitzvah with Eivishter. So a person loses his Mitzvah. Pasha loses his Mitzvah. People are afraid, you know, they're going to turn into something. So the Rebbe says that the true concept of Bechira Chavshis, of the Neshama, not Bechira Chavshis, what Chassidus calls Bechira Chavshis. In other words, that a person serves the Eivishter not because he's even pulled to do it because of the yoker of Elikos, because he's in, but it's because the essence of the neshama serves the Eibishter, it's a hard concept to describe and understand. At the essence, the core of the neshama does it because it chooses to serve the Eibishter, not because it feels fine, because it's one with whatever it is. Yeah. you have to understand what that concept of Bechira Chavsh is the way Chassidus explains it is a very deep and hard, and you have to make sure to say it right also. Something to say what it's saying really sounds kind of opposite. So that concept of Bechira Chavsh is Adrabe, that would be Dafke revealed and all that, right? But I'm discussing the simple, straightforward.
Well, I don't know if this is the case, but Dr. Eberle wrote Sefer
and the Shvola Zayda came to the Alter Rebbe and he's told him to burn it and I'll go put that fire in.
But those
are apparently these are the onion over there. That's the young over there. I'll be honest,
can you talk in the
face of Shekh? How So let's discuss what's very, in a sense, it was interesting and a lot to discuss about is really this middle period. In other words, there's Bechira Chavshis in the literal sense, you have free choice. You don't, the Yetzer Hara is taken away. But there's still room for improvement. So, first of all, what does that mean? It simply means there's still bad in the world. There's still Shaykh, there's still possible an opportunity for someone to do bad, so there's still free choice. But then there's, this the Rebbe Chassidus doesn't say, but another Sfarim, they mention this. I'm not saying that this is necessarily a thought that fits with Chassidus, but it's interesting thing. I have in a number of Sfarim, they explain a concept like this. They say that in the Yetzer Hara, there's two types of entities that we call Yetzer Hara. Obviously, you could say that one comes from the other, but if you look at different stories in Gemara and Midrashim, there's two entities that are called Yetzer Hara. One thing is the person has an instinct in his heart. No, the Friedrich Rebbe described the Yetzer Hara. It wasn't in the Yetzer Hara in the Nefesh HaBahamas. There's a few Biurim Mechsidus. One of the Biurim Friedrich Rebbe says, the Nefesh HaBahamas wants, he's a grubber, he wants yeshus, he wants to enjoy himself. It's not like every second he's running to enjoy himself. No, it's just a certain hamach of the Nefesh. So the Yetzer Hara is the instigator. If you don't mind me saying, it's like internet pop-ups. You know, it's like he just comes in the middle of nowhere, throws you a machshava zari, throws you a taiva. Not upshot that you naturally have a desire for this or for that. And then once in a while, you think about it. Yetzer Hara is like it's an instigator. He's a mason. Like he just, like, middle of nowhere, throws something into your head to get you excited about doing an aveda. It's much worse than an average of Hans. But anyway. So there's two types of Yetzer Hara. One type of Yetzer Hara is the Yetzer Hara should believe Rishal Adam. And within the heart of a person, right, every person, you know, the Rebbe writes, when you're in your time, the natural soul of a person is giving him life is comprised of four negative elements, and there's negative midas that come out of it. Then there's a concept that's discussed in a number of sources, and there's clear implications from it in Gemara, Midrashim, Malachas Kamel Kamel, and Kabbalah. There's a level of the Yetzer Hara that's like an angel. For example, you have different stories in the Gemara, Rabbi Akiva, and other people were tested by the Satan. I'm sure that we'll say, Al Pichsidat, Rabbi Akiva, the Yetzer Hara was taken away from him. But there's a certain powerful koyach that is not within the person, but there's the Satan, there's a Malach that has a power sometimes, the Abishah gives him the power to test the person. In a certain sense, you know, it's not the person's own natural instinct would have pushed him to do this, but there's an outside power that is the level of an angel, which is higher than a human being, which, you know, for example, you have, the Gemara says, the famous Gemara, that every Friday night when the person comes home, there's two malachim, right? The good malach, there's a bad malach, and if the table is set, and the candles are lit, so the good malach says, next week it should be this way also, and the bad malach, bal kercha yanom, and he has to, against it, also yomim, the opposite that happens, the opposite, exchange happens in Allah. Let's go over and think that Rambam, whatever the Malach Tev and the Malach Ra, the Yetzer Tev and Yetzer Ra. They're called, sometimes they're called with the name Allah. Now, here you have actually two opposite explanations. I think there's Avi Nachal and Nezer HaKadosh. One Sefer says that when Mashiach will come, when it says that the Eibishter will shech the Yetzer Hara, what it means is that this external power of the Yetzer Hara, which in a certain sense is much more powerful than the regular Yetzer Hara, because it's like it's a malach, it's not a natural entity. So that Yetzer Hara will be taken away. But a person will still have natural tendencies he'll have to overcome. So when it says, you know, the mashal, we know that the Yetzer Hara is the Samach Mem, and you know, and then it's shechting, this, whatever, the malach, the Yetzer Hara, the malach will be taken away. There's other Sforim actually say, I didn't have a chance to see it tonight, they say just the opposite. For someone's over there, I think he says mamash the opposite. He says that the person's own Yetzirah will be taken away. So he won't have the personal, internal struggle on a day-to-day basis. But there'll still be the general Yetzirah. Like maybe you could say like Adam Rishon before the Chet. There was still an option in the world out there that, you know, it's not part of him. It's not, the struggle is not so intense. But it's still out. In the first Kuf, it's another one. It said, Eibush v'shach v'yetzirhada. So, Eibush v'shach v'yetzirhada, so what's shaykh and avoid or anything? So, again, on this thought, which again, I don't know if it's mamish physical, it's not, but on this thought of these two different aspects, there's actually two different, like, two opposite explanations of how it works, what's when Mashiach will come, at least the first period. So, in the first period of Mashiach, there is avoda. Elamai, the struggle is not very intense. And if, just to throw in maybe the same concept, but a much more Rambam terms, you know, like the Rambam, you know, particularly if you look at the Rambam's approach, and a person has better understanding of the Eibush, automatically is able to suppress his Yetzer Hara. I mean, that's like the Rambam's standard, the Rambam's like type of philosophy, so to say, is you know, this in a way explains it. So Mashiach will come. The day in the Likus will be spread out. Everyone will know the Eibush there. So that will, in other words, if you look at the Rambam, the way it seems from the Rambam, the way he describes it, particularly even in the way of Mashiach, doesn't necessarily mean, at least in the first period, that the Yetzer Hara will be taken away. There won't be Yetzer Hara. It means, when a person does an Aveda today, why doesn't he do what the Gemara says? They know the Aveda, Aveda, Alam Kei Nichnas Bei Ruach Shtus. A person does an Aveda, it's like it's a foolishness, right? He's not doing it out of free choice. He's doing it because he's, you know, that's stupid. You know, it's very, the Yetzirah is very powerful, but he's not able to think clearly. When Mashiach will come, that, the Ruach of wisdom, of understanding, of proper comprehension of what life is all about, we'll flood the world. So we'll be able to, in other words, the Yetzer Hara won't really have a chance to get to you. Because the day of Hashem will spread out. So Moshe Brahman, Moed in the Bucham describes, why when Mashiach will come, won't people be fighting each other? And it says, B'yidiyah sa'emes, when the knowledge of the truth becomes well known, so automatically fights and animosity between people disappear. So, in other words, in that section of the Rambam, Rambam's not saying that there's a certain koyach of Yetzer Hara will be taken away. He's saying that people have negative tendencies, but when the truth is revealed and the proper understanding of what life is all about, the lakus is all about, the purpose of life is all about, automatically you have the ability to overcome Yetzer Hara. So, and this is all, you know, regarding the first period of Mashiach. Now, it's also important to mention the Maral. Maral has an interesting discussion about it. I think it's an Atzef Yisrael Perek Memvav. The Maral doesn't really go on the lines of whether there will be free choice or not free choice, but he has a different way of putting it. Maral says when Mashiach will come, Mashiach is a complete world. A complete world means that everything that is in potential is realized in actuality. This world is still a world of potential. It can still change things around. The race of Mashiach is a perfect world. Everything came out the way it is. At that type of a world, it's not shy to change around things. The Rasha can't become a tzaddik, because he says, what's the point of him doing tshuva? You know, when he sees that the truth is the truth, so his tshuva is automatic. He's not accomplishing anything. So he says a person can't achieve shleimus, can't achieve, some, one more point I have to say, he can't achieve proper, you know, achievement of withholding himself from negative things and acquiring positive traits only in this world. And the world to come, the Maral says, everything is set. So whatever you achieved in this world, that's the way it's in the world to come. It doesn't make, like at that point, there's no room for change. It's similar, a little bit, what Chassidus says. Chassidus actually really connects it. But Chassidus said that in this world, a person can do tshuva, right? In 1 second, Rasha Gam will come and Tzadik Gam. A person reaches Gan Eden, that's it. Gan Eden is Mamalik Halam. Everything is set. It's not trying to turn things around. But the Maral says an important point. He says it doesn't mean that for a Tzadik, there's no room to get even higher when Mashiach will come. to change from one extreme to the other extreme won't be shaykh, he said. But if someone that already acquired shleimus in this world, why should he be, I don't know if he uses this word, but why should he be, you know, not given the opportunity to acquire higher shleimus? So it means that the basic, in other words, I guess this, the fundamental level of where you're holding, if you're a tzaddik or a rasha, that will be non-changeable. But once somebody was already a tzaddik, he acquired the shleimus in this world. So because he already acquired the shleimus, he has the right to continue going higher and higher in his avodas Hashem. So again, like I mentioned, you'll get rewards. The rewards for the avodah in the Moshe Mashiach is in some sense even greater than the avodah now. The question is the reward because a person is abstaining from evil, or is the reward because a person is going higher in Kedusha? It's going to be, in a certain sense, a different type of an avoida. So it'll still be an avoida, but it might be very different from what it is today. Anyway, there's a lot more to discuss, but I think there's a Zayim Mashiach now. Okay.